love it. 실력보단 매력이 I love it. 품격보단 파격이 I love it. 사치보단 가치가 좋아 I love it. 자신을 love it. 여러분도 love it. 앞이 양옆 사람들 I love you so much. 남 걱정의 점은 짜셨냐? 네 시방밥은 짜셨냐? 생선을 먹을 땐 가시발라 먹어. 수박을 먹을 때는 씨발라 먹어. 날 좋아하는 분들 내 사랑 먹어. 욕하고 모욕하고 그랬다 카드랑 가는 분들 모여 이건 안 먹어. I love it, I love it. 개미보단 배짱이 I love it. 반칙보단 변칙이 I love it. 화풀이보단 뒤풀이 I love it. 선비보단 좀비가 좋아 I love it. 나의 팬 love it. 아티 love it. 앞이 양옆 사람들 I love you so much. 남 걱정의 점은 짜셨냐? 네 시방밥은 짜셨냐? 생선을 먹을 땐 가시발라 먹어. 수박을 먹을 때는 씨발라 먹어. 날 좋아하는 분들 내 사랑 먹어. 욕하고 모욕하고 그랬다 카드랑 가는 분들 모여 이건 안 먹어. I love it, I love it.
에이 guys, welcome back to K-pop Cafe on CATR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory located in British Columbia. Your DJ Jaden is back again this week. Okay, so Psy, the singer of Gangnam Style, is finally back with a new album with the title song I Love It, and that's what you guys just listened to at the top. I'll make sure to play some of the other tracks from Psy's new album, so stay tuned in. I have a very exciting news for you guys, and that is we have our first guest here at K-pop Cafe. Yes! Okay, so he's a very close friend of mine, and you guys should probably remember the Korean culture promoting club at UBC called UNIKE, UNI Korea, that I talked about the other day, and also KLT, Korean Language Table, the biggest Korean language education program at UBC, which I'm in charge of. So his name is Alex. So Alex, who loves Korean culture, and I met for the first time at KLT, and we became really good friends after meeting up at the other Korean culture event from UNIKE. So I thought that maybe I should invite him to the show and have fun together. So everyone, please welcome Alex.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Yeah.
K-pop Cafe listeners, my name is Alex. I am a computer science major, just graduated. This was my last term. And yeah, it's an honor to be here on the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alex, for making time to come visit our show today, despite the fact that you're really recently really busy. So it was quite difficult to have you come over, because when I gave you a call last week to ask if you could be a part of the show today, you're actually getting ready to go out of town for a few days. And it's been only a few hours since you just came back from San Francisco, right?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, you called me. I was on Salt Spring Island, so I had to defer that for a couple days, call you when I got back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I ended up heading down to San Francisco earlier this week, got back last night.
Right.
So a little jet lagged, no time zone difference, but flight got in around 10 p.m.,
mm.
And I got woken up early this morning by a jackhammer outside, which wasn't fun. But I'm here, and I'm happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, guys, something really interesting about Alex is that he can actually speak fluent Korean. And I'm telling you, it's as good as how a native Korean person like myself would speak the language.
안녕하십니까, 여러분. 저는 알렉스라고 합니다. 저는 검사 전공이고, 이제 이번 마지막 학기에 드디어 졸업을 했습니다. 네.
Yes. Could you translate what you just said?
Basically said the same thing.
The introduction?
So, yeah. My last term and I graduated.
Mm.
Yay.
Right. Okay. Alex, can you tell us about when you started studying Korean?
Sure. Yeah. So I started studying Korean, I guess, in my last year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, that was a few years ago. Yeah.
It's yeah.
Like 2007, I guess.
Mm. Okay. Then what was the reason you started studying then?
So I was living in California at the time, and that's where I went to high school. And so I had some Korean-American friends, and I guess it was through them that I became interested in it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really been exposed to Korean culture or the language much before that, but in befriending these kids, hanging out at their houses, I think one of the things that really caught me was seeing these friends who were born in the States, spoke English as a native language, you know, just as fluent as I was, you know, understood American culture, really related to it. But when I would go to, for example, one of my friend's places and his parents would be there, they would speak to him in Korean. And that was really weird because he would then respond in English. So I only understood half of the conversation. So his mom would say something like, da, 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 he'd be like, yeah, mom, I'm going to do it later. And he'd be like, what is going on? This is really weird. So I think that was part of my inspiration to want to kind of understand the language a bit more, learn some words in the language,
mm-hmm.
And then also seeing the way that my Korean friends interacted with, for example, their siblings or with their parents was very different from what I was used to. And so that piqued my curiosity and, yeah, pushed me to want to understand it better.
I see. Did you, after that, did you get a chance to go to Korea to study over there?
Well, I've been to Korea now 6 times, so quite a few times, over the years. But no, none of it for studying. It's only been for vacation, travel, so on.
So you actually managed to learn, like, to speak this much without even going on, like, an exchange program to Korea?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go on exchange. It ended up not working out, but I guess that was already a few years after I'd been learning Korean. So, yeah, once I graduated high school, I moved from California back up to Vancouver and, you know, just continued studying on my own with friends, you know, and taking advantage of all the resources I could find. At that time, there weren't a lot of resources on the internet, not nearly as many websites out there to help. So, yeah, it was kind of exploring the wasteland and discovering what I could. And yeah.
Mm, I see. Did you take any courses at UBC then?
So I actually took a gap year, and during that gap year, I was able to improve my Korean quite a bit, worked on it pretty actively. But when I came to UBC, then I did Korean 300, and then the next year I did Korean 410. Korean 300 is like a language course where you know, learn vocabulary, you learn grammar, you have tests, and so on. Korean 410 is like a literature course, so you actually do translations of short stories. So you have all these short stories in Korean, and it's your job to translate them into English. So I found that was really interesting and insightful. Not exactly an active language learning style course, though.
Mm.
So while I found it did help with reading, for example, there were no spoken components to that course and no writing components as well.
Right.
Because we never wrote in Korean. Mm. We always translated from Korean into English. But they were interesting courses. I definitely enjoyed them.
Okay. You never actually told me about this personally, so this is actually the first time I'm hearing about this, too.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was several years before I'd met you, so by the time you found me, I was already, I'd already been learning for several years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about 10 years by the time, right?
Yeah, it's been about 10 years. I mean, I would say that over the last probably 3 years or so, I haven't really improved much, but that's been largely in part due to the fact that I started studying computer science, and I think when you're learning programming languages, it's hard to learn human languages as well.
Yeah.
So kind of my cognitive load was exceeded. So I had to kind of put my Korean studies on hold, but still stayed in touch with Korean friends and, you know, enjoyed kind of following the culture and news and so on and interacting with people. I haven't been able to go to Korea for about 2 years. So now that I've graduated, I'm hoping to be able to to squeeze a trip in before I start working. So, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay. And back in KLT, the Korean Language Table program, when I was in charge of that program, when I still am, and when you came in, you actually ended up tutoring the people who wanted to study Korean.
Yeah.
How was that like?
It was fun. I guess there are something like 30 tutors or 25 tutors. So
yeah.
For both years that I've done it, I've been the only non-Korean tutor, which has been fun. So I go in there and obviously people are expecting for me to be a student. And when they find out I'm their tutor, I think that it's kind of interesting for them. But, you know, I start out by demonstrating to them that I can speak Korean, that I do know the language. So like, hey, you're in good hands. You know, I'll take care of you. I understand the learning process, how difficult it can be. Here's my tips and so on. But it's really fun. I think specifically for the opportunity to revisit the learning process. Because in my case, you know, it's been many years since I was a beginner in Korean. And it's kind of easy to forget sometimes the challenges that I faced. And so in being able to help someone else learn the language, I'm able to see them struggle with things and remember, oh yeah, like that's something that I now take for granted that took me a long time to understand. Now I understand it well.
Because you experienced that too.
Yeah. And it's a really nice opportunity to give back because I mean, I struggled a lot, but I also benefited a lot from other people in my learning process. And so, yeah, it's nice to be able to kind of pass that along to the next generation, if you will.
Right. And that was one of the advantages that you had as a non-Korean tutor, because the other tutors were all Koreans and they didn't, their first language was Korean. So when they were teaching their students Korean, sometimes they had trouble understanding how to explain better because they never had trouble learning it. Mm-hmm. It just naturally came out.
Yeah.
And they just like learned it when they were a child.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's the advantage you had.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, but that being said, Korean is so different from English that, to be honest, even some of the things I had difficulty explaining, I think they're things that I learned through just interaction with other people. I tried to immerse myself as much as I could in the culture and language, you know, while still using resources like textbooks, but using people, you know, interacting with people, making friends, you know, communicating in Korean. And through that, then there were a lot of things that I kind of picked up on and learned through that. And things that are, I guess, notoriously difficult to explain in terms of an English language speaker's mindset or understanding of language.
Right. Actually, you know what? The fact that you mentioned that Korean is totally opposite from English just reminded me of how difficult it was for me to learn English, too. Like, I started studying when I was about 5 years old back in Korea. And that time, the reason why I had trouble learning or understanding English was because between Korean and English, there's a huge difference between in terms of the grammar and also the language structure, right? So it's like the totally opposite. So when it comes to, so if you want to say in English, you want to say I like ice cream. In Korean, it would be I ice cream like, or even
ice cream like.
Yeah.
Skip the I altogether. Right?
Yeah. So that
ice cream joa.
right. So that's one of the things that a lot of people have trouble with when Koreans study English, and also non-Korean English-speaking people try to study Korean too. Right. Okay. Then after we listen to some songs, could you tell us more about how you self-studied after that?
For sure. I'd be glad to.
Awesome. All right. So we'll be back in a second. Alex is here with us. And if you want to know more about how Alex became so fluent in Korean by self-studying, make sure to stay tuned, especially if you want to start studying Korean too. My welcome man 가세공 테이블에 앞뒷면 으로 빼곡히 너를 위한 노래 학교 가는 버스에서 오토리버스 잊혀지고 버려지는 것들 just like us 기억을 거슬러 보면 그래 산다는 건 담배 연기처럼 들이마셨다가 내뿜어 하늘과 땅을 오갔었던 두근거림이 익숙함으로 변할 때쯤 감정은 시들어 휘발되어가는 삶과 세상은 빨라도 너무 빨라 그래 구닥다리야 나는 잊혀진다 헌신하다 헌신짝처럼 뜨거웠던 연탄재처럼
추억을 거슬러 보면 우리네 삶이란 건 한 폭의 수채화처럼 번지고 얼룩져 좋은 기억 따위로 좋은 추억 따위로 남겨지기 위해 전부를 던진 건 아니었어 생을 살듯 하루 살았다 그 찰나의 시간을 평생처럼 살았다 때로는 마음이 찢어질 듯이 아파도 나를 닮은 아픔이라서 품에 안았다 가세공 케이베 앞뒷면으로 빼곡히 너를 위한 노래 학교 가는 버스에서 오토리버스 잊혀지고 버려지는 것들 just like boss My my walkman 가세공 케이베 앞뒷면으로 빼곡히 너를 위한 노래 학교 가는 버스에서 오토리버스 잊혀지고 버려지는 것들 just like boss 새벽이 오면 함께 찾아오는 허기 내 속이 허전해 어쩌면 배완 상관없지 whatever 피도 살도 안 되는 내 미부여 일단 채울 수 있는 것부터 라면 끓여 TV 옆 조촐한 식탁 이 돼버린 옛 교재들 눈앞엔 최신작 못 본 영화들 톡하면 천만 넘는 것 같네 나와 대화를 통할 사람 천만 명인 거야 면은 불고 리모컨만 만지작 결국 몇 번 봤던 옛 영화를 들고 다시 봐 며칠 전체 난 형이 했던 말 듣던 것만 듣고 보던 것만 보면 늙은 거야 Shit 내 헤드폰엔 여전히 Illmatic 아님 유재하일 집 다신 듣고 볼 수 없는 게 너무나 많아서 시린 가슴 주변에 늘 과거를 두르네 자꾸 왜 Walkman 가세공 케이베 앞뒷면으로 빼곡히 너를 위한 노래 학교 가는 버스에서 오토리버스 잊혀지고 버려지는 것들 just like boss My my Walkman 가세공 케이베 앞뒷면으로 빼곡히 너를 위한 노래 학교 가는 버스에서 오토리버스 잊혀지고 버려지는 것들 just like us 매일 이별하며 살아가는 사람들의 멜로디 잊고 잊혀지고 추억을 뒤로 하고 새 것만 찾는 우리 이야기 버리고 버리고 세상을 적시고 말라버리는 여름날의 소나기처럼 우린 늘 그래 미친 듯이 죽을 듯이 그러다가 언제 그랬냐는 듯이 오토리버스
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Welcome back, everyone. If you missed the intro part of the show, we are here with our special guest, Alex, today.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, Alex, so you said that you didn't even go to Korea to study Korean, but you came so fluent in Korean like this, just by studying by yourself here in Canada. So please tell us more about how that worked out for you.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I mentioned a few things that I did. One of the other things I found really helpful was interacting with Korean people. So I got a tip from a friend years ago, who suggested that I check out a Korean church.
Turns out
that there are a lot of Korean churches here in Vancouver. And so I decided I would hit one up and talked to people there and told them I was learning Korean, and they were very, very excited, mm-hmm. enthusiastic, very supportive. And through that ended up making a bunch more friends. Having people to interact with. So, I mean, the church service was all in Korean, so starting out, I certainly didn't understand anything.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, started to learn more, continued interacting with people. And I think that was a really good source of not only inspiration to continue learning, because
right.
I established now these relationships with people
yeah.
who were my friends, who I mm-hmm. wanted to communicate with more, but also a nice place to practice and continue to improve my Korean
right.
skills.
Mm-hmm. Because like when it comes to the Korean society here, church are like the biggest community.
Yeah,
like,
I find
Korean
that
society.
To be one of the primary gathering points, let's say,
yeah.
amongst Koreans.
Yeah, for sure. Like how long did you go there for?
I guess I went to a couple different Korean churches, but I started going to one in, I think it was like 2008. So this was actually, or maybe late 2007 even. So this was before I started at UBC.
Okay.
I would say I would contribute a lot of my my improvements in Korean leading up to my entrance to UBC from going to Korean church and being able to interact with so many people on a weekly basis.
Right. And you know what? I would have to agree with the idea of going to the church, like the advice from your friend,
mm-hmm.
friend of yours, the idea of going to church and being involved in the community. Because I think that when it comes to learning a foreign language, it's really not easy to learn it if you don't dive into the community where that language that you're trying to learn is spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I improved my Japanese a lot when I went to a Japanese church in Vancouver too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
How did you, my experience may have been different, but I'm curious, you know, culturally Japan is a bit different. How did you find it?
One good thing is that, well, because I grew up in Korean culture,
mm-hmm.
right? And, because the Japanese culture and Korean culture is kind of quite similar. So when I first went there, I didn't really feel the huge gap. But there were definitely some differences, culture differences. But when I went there, everyone was trying to help me out. And I was the only Korean person there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But there were some other non-Japanese people who try to speak the language, the Japanese. But yeah, being the only Korean person, everyone kind of like felt bad when I was like struggling to mm-hmm. understand what they were saying, but people are so nice. They helped me out a lot, and there was some free lessons for Japanese tutors just like come by and then just like teach, but I took that for free, so
oh,
that
nice.
Really helped me out.
Yeah,
and I did that for about for a couple of months, and that really ended up having a really good result
mm-hmm.
in improving my Japanese too. Yeah. And Hyung, I just called it Hyung. Sorry, normally I don't call you Alex.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I just call you. Yeah, I just call you Hyung. But actually, you know what? Now that I mentioned the Hyung, the term, let's have a short culture lesson, Hyung. Yeah,
sure.
So in Korean culture, it is very normal to ask the people. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask people that you have just met how old they are, and the reason being is that in Korea there are certain terms to address. To use to address the people you are talking to, and you can kind of figure that out which term to use to address them depending on their age, right?
Yeah. Yeah, mm. I found, as a brief side note, there are so many terms that you use to address different people, and especially when it comes to family,
mm-hmm.
it gets so complicated.
It's like Nuna and Onni.
Well, like there's the, you know, my mother's brother is different from my father's brother.
Yeah.
Here it's just uncle.
Mm.
And then like my mother's mother and my father's mother are not, but my grandma, they're yeah. like, you know, different terms for all these different things. So that's really complicated. But at a basic level, there are, yeah, a few different terms that are really frequently used. So around people in, let's say, the same generation as you, if they're older than you, then you'll address them with a different term than if they're the same age or younger than you.
Mm.
So in the case of Jaden and I'm a bit older than Jaden. And so Jaden will call me Hyung once he realizes that I am older. Mm-hmm. And typically you'll ask people how old they are.
Yeah.
Because until you know how old they are, you don't really know how to address them, because you don't address someone by just their name
unless it's really obvious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Unless yeah. exactly, unless you're in like the same grade in, you know, elementary school or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Hyung is a term that guys will use to address a male friend who is older than them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a generic kind of catch-all term, so you use it for your real brother as well.
Yeah.
Or you can also say Chinhyung, mm-hmm. if it's your real brother, to
right.
kind of distinguish between the two. But it doesn't just mean someone who's older than you, who is a guy, if you're a guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's kind of rooted in the culture itself. And Hyung is a term that represents, I would say, two things. One is the respect that you have for the person you call Hyung.
For sure, yeah.
If you call someone Hyung, it's like, I trust you, you know, I respect you. But the person who you call Hyung, there's an expectation on them to kind of take care of you as like the junior, as, you know, the quote unquote younger sibling. You know, the Hyung will be like, oh, you know, I'll come with me. Like, I'll handle this. Like, don't worry about it. Kind of provide that, the means of support for the younger person.
Are you a good Hyung to me, Hyung?
I think so. I don't know.
You think so?
Do you think so?
I think you are.
I try.
Wait, so the direct translation for the term Hyung would be like, older brother in English.
Yeah.
But here, when people become really good friends, people call each other like bros or brothers, right? But
yeah.
you certainly don't really see that in Korea. So you don't just like go up to your friends, just call them Hyung or anything like that, mm-hmm. right? So that, I guess, that's one of the things that people have trouble with understanding when they learn Korean. And one of the other terms that comes in when you talk about topics like this, it would be oppa, the mm-hmm. term. When a female calls their calls a male person who's older than them. And you guys might have heard of the term oppa, because in Gangnam Style,
mm-hmm.
oppa Gangnam Style, yeah, that.
And in every Korean drama.
Every
ever.
Korean single, yeah, every Korean drama, they have that. So
yeah,
I personally like that term.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
you
yeah.
like using it or being called it?
I never use it. I like being called oppa.
Yeah.
But yeah. But Hyung, well, it depends.
Yeah. It yeah. depends. But you have a younger brother.
I do. Yeah
I'm,
yeah.
I'm the youngest. I have older brothers.
Wait, you're the youngest in
yeah,
your family?
Yeah, I'm the youngest. Yeah.
Really? Wait, how many brothers do you have?
I have three brothers.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Too many. Too many. And a sister.
Wait, you have a sister too?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
But everyone's older. So for me, the term like 동생 is weird. And
yeah.
someone calling me Hyung or someone calling me oppa, for me was very strange at first, because I've never in my life before that had someone call me the equivalent of older brother.
Mm.
So it was kind of weird to be like, oh, I have like a, you know, somewhat quasi little brother-esque person now. Ooh.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's like, that's why I call you Hyung, right?
Mm-hmm.
So because like when we first met, we started talking to each other in Korean. So it just like naturally just came out that I'll just call you Hyung after that.
Yeah.
So that's like one of the culture differences between the people who grew up in Korea and the people who grew up in Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the culture differences, one thing that just reminded me of is that the direct eye contact between people.
Mm.
So in Canada, when I first came here, I got scolded by my teacher, a Canadian teacher at school, and he wanted to talk to me outside of class, and he was really upset that I didn't make the direct eye contact. I was actually looking at the floor while he was talking to me. And he was like, I'm talking to you, could you please look at me, right? But I ended up not doing it, and that made it worse. But the reason why I did it was because in Korean culture, if you make a direct eye contact to your teacher who's scolding you, that means you're kind of like challenging them. By
insubordination.
Right, by saying that I'm at the same level as you, yeah. that's why I'm making the direct eye contact, and I'm just like, I'm so ready to talk back to you. That's kind of like a sign, right? Yeah, so I guess that's like the cultural barrier that people kind of like need to realize and try to like get used to, I think.
Yeah, that's what I found too in like going to Korean church, for example, is you get to see a lot more natural interactions amongst Koreans. And I think a lot of people who are overseas Korean learners, for example, don't have as many opportunities to interact with real Korean people in real situations. And so it's really nice to kind of be able to observe even actively as a participant or from afar the ways in which people interact with each other, which are so different from the way in which things are done in Western culture, for example.
Right. Wait, in the Korean church, which group of people did you associate with the most comfortably? Like, was it a group of ajumonis, like the Korean older woman?
I mean, certainly they appreciated my interest in Korean, and they always want to feed you a lot of food.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, as with anyone else, it's oftentimes people around your age, you can relate to the best. So it was definitely like the kind of young adult age grouped people that I interacted with the most. Yeah.
Like whenever you finish your food, they would be like, "좀 더 먹어," and then they just give you more food. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Slowly gaining weight.
Right. Okay. Then which part of Korean culture were you so surprised about when you first heard about it?
I would probably when I saw. So again, the first time I went to Korea, I was like 18 years old. I'd been learning Korean for, I would say, about a year at that point, but, you know, had never gone to Korea. I had some Korean friends, but hadn't interacted that much with Koreans. And so it was when I was in Korea, this was in the wintertime, and was hanging out with some friends, and we went into just like a street food stand. There's like these stands outside, and they have like coverings with just plastic and
the
some heaters and stuff.
They
don't really have them here, but it's just like cheap plastic chairs and cheap plastic tables and so on.
Right.
And they just serve, you know, nice street food and alcohol.
Mm.
And so went in there, and there's just like all these older Korean guys, like, you know, middle-aged and later, like 50s, 60s. And they're just like holding hands. Or like they, you know, one guy has his hand on the other guy's thigh. And I'm like, oh, this is very strange. Like, I'm not used to seeing older guys be so touchy. And the thing is, this is not these aren't people who are in relationships typically. This is just an element of the culture where the touch in that way shows like care and, you know, friendship, affinity, and so on. And these older Korean guys who are holding hands, it's not a weird thing in Korean culture.
Right,
it's just like, yeah, man, like you're my bro, you know, like I trust you, I care about you. Like
showing the friendship,
So just like sitting next to someone, putting your hand on their thigh in Western culture is like, dude, get out of here, man. Like, stop messing with me. But in Korean culture, it's like, oh, yeah, cool, man. Like, we're buddies. Like, we're good friends. We care about each other.
Yeah. You now know the intention like behind that, right?
For sure. Yeah. But when I first saw it, I was like, this is very weird. Like, I'm not used to seeing this many people. Like, even sometimes walking down the street, you just see like old guys and they're very touchy, very close to one another.
Yeah.
And you don't see that, you know, amongst older Western people, for example.
Mm. Right. Hey, is there any food that you certainly do not like at all?
Oh, yeah.
Because you just like talked about the kyukguri imshik, like the street food. So I can think of many different kyukguri imshik, like street food.
Yeah.
And some of them, I love them.
Yeah.
But
probably all of them.
Not all of them.
I would say amongst kyukguri imshik, probably there are maybe one or two. One of them is sundae. I first tried it.
Wait, as in you don't like sundae?
I don't like it.
You don't like that?
No. No.
Wait,
I know
why?
It's like a crazy popular Korean dish. I don't know. It's just like because it's made with like blood, right? Like blood sausage.
Yeah.
For me, the flavor of it is just not good. And I don't know. I don't like it. And
like sundae and tteokbokki together, it's like the best.
I like tteokbokki.
You like tteokbokki?
But I don't like sundae.
You don't like sundae? Oh, that combination is like the best.
Not a fan of like gopchang, and I don't really like shellfish in general.
Shellfish? Yeah, but like seafood.
Yeah, so seafood. Yeah, seafood, I do love fish.
Fish
is really good.
Mm.
I would say one of the best things I've ever had amongst all the Korean foods that I've tried is kkoldungeo jorim.
Yeah,
in Jeju Island.
Oh yeah,
that was crazy good. That was just unbelievably good. but you know, if I'm to say my favorite food, I've only had that once or twice. And Jeju Island, you know, it was probably fresh caught fish right there in the ocean. But yeah, I would say it started with kalbi.
Kalbi, yeah.
I just really like the marinated beef. This is like kind of chunks of beef that you will barbecue. And in 2012, I had the privilege of hanging out with a friend who is Korean. He was going to school out in Toronto, but he was in Korea at the same time. And he invited me over to his place in the east of Korea, in a place called Samcheok. Mm. And his dad ran a restaurant, and the restaurant served hanu. And, you know, because I was an honored guest, there was just basically an unlimited supply of hanu.
Oh, man.
We just kept eating and eating and eating, and it was so good. So hanu, for people who don't know, is Korean beef.
Right.
This is a breed of cattle from Korea.
Expensive.
Kind of like, yeah, kind of like Wagyu beef in Japan.
Yeah.
So those are, it's a specific breed of cattle, native, maybe native to Japan, but certainly bred in Japan.
Yeah.
So hanu is maybe a step down from Wagyu, which is like the most expensive beef in the world. But hanu is like super good. A lot of beef in Korea is imported from Australia, for example.
Yeah.
That's most of the beef that you'll eat. And so hanu is kind of like a you know, prized artisan beef that's specially raised and you know, bred and so on. And just very good. Much more expensive, but... Oh, yeah.
Totally worth
that
it.
That did me in.
Yeah.
I was sold.
Worth a try, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, now I will take some recommendations from you, Alex. Could you name two songs that you want our listeners to give a listen to?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the show is called K-Pop Cafe, so I figured, you know, it probably
right
would be
show.
A good idea to prepare some some songs. Yeah, two...
Did you see this coming?
You know, I thought I might as well.
Yeah.
I was worried you might ask me to sing, but
you know me very well.
Fortunately, fortunately you didn't. so, yeah, let's do two songs. One of my favorite singers, Kim Bum-soo.
Mm-hmm.
He's the singer of Pogo Sipda, which probably a lot of people will know. It's probably one of the most popular Korean songs.
The OST from Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he has a newer song called Geut Sarang, which means Last Love. Mm-hmm. Really like that song. Another song by Noel is called Jeongwon, which means proposal.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, for sure. Okay, then, let's give them a try then. Geut Sarang by Kim Bum-soo, The Last Love, and also Jeongwon, Proposal by Noel.
Oh, 같았었다면 그 곁에 머물기 수월했을까요? 사랑해 떠난다는 말 과분하다는 말 고슴치던 나였지만 그댄 오직 그대만이 내 첫사랑 내 끝사랑 지금부터 그대 나를 잊고 살아도 그대만이 영원한 내 사랑 나는 다시는 사랑을 못할 것 같아요. 그대가 말만 하면서 외면했죠. 오랜 시간 조금 기다리면 그때가 올 거라고 someday yeah. 그대 원하는 그 말을 얼마나 오래 기다린 줄 알면서 이제야 말하네요. You don't have to cry. 울지 말아요. 고개 들어봐요. 이제 웃어봐요. I will make you smile.
a stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
You're listening to K-pop Cafe by Jaden. Okay, so Alex, you know that Korean dramas are huge internationally these days.
Is there Hallyu.
Any? Huh?
Hallyu.
Yeah,
Korean wave.
Yeah, Korean wave. Huge. Is there any drama that you're watching currently?
To be honest, I don't think I've watched a drama in maybe 5 years or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one is the last one you saw?
Kyore Yeowang.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. That? Okay.
Like a long time ago. So, the reason why is when I started learning Korean, I watched dramas endlessly. They're super addictive. Probably anyone who watches them will know that. And I think at some point I had too many late nights in a row, and I was like, you know what? I just need to.
Every K drama lover have that problem.
Yes.
Every time.
So eventually, I decided that maybe this is not the best thing for me. And so I started switching instead. I liked watching the shows for the purpose of, you know, getting the listening practice and,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, for instructional purposes as well as entertainment,
really
kind of merging
helps.
The two.
Yeah.
But I ended up switching to like variety shows.
Variety
shows? Yeah. So things like Running Man,
mm-hmm.
Ilbagi, back when it was on, that's One Night, Two Days and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not super knowledgeable about current day dramas, but what about you? Have you been watching anything recently?
Yeah. Currently, I'm really addicted to this new drama called Tunnel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Where the leading actor is Choi Jin-hyuk. Do you know him?
I don't know that I know the name.
You've seen The Heirs, right? The drama that came out about like 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think I've seen some clips from it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. Starring Lee Min-ho.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that guy, like the guy who played as his brother, older brother in that drama.
Oh, okay.
Like the guy named Kim Won in the drama.
Right. I didn't know the actor's name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's the main actor in Tunnel?
He's the main actor.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like a mystery thriller drama, yeah. And everyone's loving it. There's like 16 different episodes in it. So you don't need to like stay up every day.
Yeah.
So like it's
some
not...
of them have like 90 episodes,
oh, yeah,
an hour long each.
I know. Yeah. It's relatively like shorter. Well, it's 1 hour,
okay.
But 16 episodes.
But 16 episodes, yeah.
Yeah, compared to the other ones, that's less. For sure. And we are already at the episode 12 right now.
Okay. So you're saying that now that I've graduated, I should just binge watch?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Tunnel. Yeah. It's like a mystery thriller drama. If you like that kind of drama, you should make some time to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. We'll be back shortly after the ad.
Diversify your university involvement and experience a new culture today.
Isaac UBC is the world's largest student-run organization that specializes in helping you get an internship or a volunteering opportunity abroad.
With thousands of opportunities in over 127 countries and territories, this is truly an international experience.
Apply today at isaac.ca. That's AIESEC.ca.
Alex, we have really sad news for you here.
Oh, no.
This is the time. We're going to start wrapping up today's episode.
No.
Here. I know. Yeah, but before we let you go, we'll let you choose our closing song for today. Which song do you want us to play?
Okay, cool. We don't have enough time to get into it, but I used to be in like a really small band and we played some Korean songs.
You can talk about it. It's fine.
We played a little show here at UBC And amongst the songs that we had practiced, one of them was Nothing Better by Jung Yup.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to sing, but it's a nice, impactful song. I think when it came out, it was really popular. A lot of people liked it. And I think, yeah, the audience here today might, if they haven't heard it yet, I think they should. It's a good song.
Okay, then we'll leave you guys with Nothing Better by Jung Yup, which will be also followed by Look Like That by Sneaks from the album It's a Myth. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Okay, so make sure to stay tuned for upcoming shows on CITR 101.9 FM, guys. There will be many different awesome shows coming on air. Thank you so much for listening to K-Pop Cafe today, and have yourself a wonderful day. Goodbye.
Such a